Hello and welcome to 23, the podcast for young, sharp-tongued and fucking fabulous people who love to talk shit.
As always, you are joined by me, Bella, and
me, Kelsey.
But today we have a very special guest, the owner and founder of millennial publication, Sure Talk, Bianca Neilshaw.
Hello, everyone.
See, this is when the R&B horn has to go off. Wow. Oh my God, and she can do the R&B horn. Ladies and gentlemen, we've found our perfect collaboration match. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to start by telling us a little bit about Sure Talk? Just a little, like, you know, elevator pitch situation.
Oh God, I've never been good at elevator pitches because I feel like I speak for 3 hours, but...
Welcome to this podcast. We speak for way too long always, so you're with your people.
Exactly. Sure Talk is kind of, you know, the girls chat or the guys chat, that it's almost like the secret... Yeah, it's like the secret...
Behind the scenes.
Gateway into the girls chat. So it's stuff that we kind of talk about with our girlfriends, whether that's beauty, fashion, sex and relationships, health, and it's all kind of meshed into one, which is a beautiful little website and an Instagram page.
Which we are huge fans of. And can't believe that you want to do the show with us, and we're so excited.
I know. I messaged you guys and I was like, guys, I think we should drink wine together. And you were like, yes, let's make it happen. So I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. It's a quick turnaround too. It only took us a few weeks to get our shit together, which was delightful.
Is it together though?
That's... No, never has been, never
shit
will
never
be. Shit never has been together.
Yes.
Kelsey, do you have something exciting to share with us from the beginning?
I mean, it's exciting for me. I don't know if it's exciting for you guys, but to kick...
It's going to be something nerdy. Get ready, guys.
No, not at all. I think
nerd out, girl.
I think you're actually going to love this. Oh. But yeah, okay. So I was doing some... I mean, okay, what are we talking about today? Today we're talking...
Just gonna make sounds throughout now.
Aruga. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's the best one. I've been out sounded.
Stop yelling in the microphone.
No. Okay. We're talking about sex,
baby.
Let's talk about
you and me.
Okay, I'm going to sum it up for Bella because she's lost her marbles today. Today we're talking about sex in all of its glory, female pleasure, uncomfortable scenarios, and oh my God, I'm blushing already. So
don't look at me like that. Sorry. She's like, anyways,
don't lift my arms.
Yeah. So I was doing like a little bit of, you know, research and digging like I always do. And one of the first things that I stumbled across, do you guys remember Dolly Doctor?
Yes.
That was everything.
Okay. Well,
section. Oh,
yeah. The seal section.
Hot right I know. Yeah.
Well, Pedestrian, they uncovered some of the pages from Dolly Doctor, and I need to read out like my favorite ones to you because
yes,
I need to get your like on mic reactions. Okay.
I love that you didn't tell us about this before.
Yeah, I was like,
this
I need
I won't person, tell you, kids.
I was like, these
get
reactions
ready for some
need
shocks.
Yeah, need to be genuine. Okay, so the first one. When I read about sex and vaginas and stuff, I always have this nervous feeling and my vagina gets hot. It feels really wet and gross. What's happening to me?
Well, I've got to say, I just got a bit tingly. Oh, it's like 12-year-old me.
Oh my God, it's like 12-year-old every girl, I hope, or
I know.
Majority. It's a bit nostalgic,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. It's like, girl, I'm sorry, you're just horny.
Yeah.
You're just horny.
I don't know whether it's the wine or the memories, but it's making me feel really good. No, I love that.
Yeah, it kind of brings you back to those days when you didn't really know what was going on downstairs.
You were confused. Remember how you're like so confused and you're like, I know that this is something that I will eventually understand, but I don't understand it yet.
Yeah.
And now I have to like navigate through this weirdly. And I don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, it's
very
watching,
stressful.
It's watching movies as well. Like, I feel like a lot of the time you're watching a movie and then you see a hot guy, like watching Aquamarine. I can't remember the hot guy from it.
Yes,
but I remember
I
watching it with my friends and being like,
when he does
very
the hair
good,
shake,
yeah, the hair
and the,
shake.
And the like, and the muscle puff
yeah,
thing.
Muscle,
and you're like, wow, okay, cool.
Pop.
Yes, my 13-year-old self is sweating.
Right, I know, now. But you like you would feel those, I guess,
those emotions,
simulations. I don't really know, and yeah, you wouldn't really know what it's about. But it's funny. We were looking at Bella's bookshelf, and she has this book by Kaz Cook called Girl Stuff, which all of my sisters and my sisters. If you are listening to this right now, please comment or do anything, like everything. But
yes,
my sisters will totally like. Say that this book is the best thing in the
world.
Is it
not like a teenage girl's Bible? Like when my mum handed it to me, she's like, here you go. Like this is so I have to do diddly squat
yeah,
in your like upbringing.
I never got it. Never. I
my
never
mum
read
bought
it
for me and then sticky taped and stapled the sex section closed. And I was like, well, she gave it to me when I was like 13, in her defense.
And you're like, I got a staple opener,
and then I
baby.
Was like, honey, it's not going to stop me. I love your dedication, but
I feel like 13 is a pretty good age to start talking about
I mean, the
sex.
Second paragraph not starts earlier. Talking about, it's talking about masturbation. So it's like.
That's how I learned. Can I just do a quick, like.
Give us.
Just giving you guys all the gossip. You yes, can read about absolutely. This. I never write about this on Short Talk because so this is the only time that you're going to hear it.
Oh, but exclusive.
I'm pretty sure I learned how to masturbate through girl stuff.
Kaz Cook, you've done your job. Round of applause.
Round of applause. Well, okay.
I was reading it last night and I was like, this is very well
this
explained.
Is hot.
Yeah. Okay.
And
well,
lots of information.
On that topic, ooh, another Dolly Doctor. I wanted to know if all females ejaculate because I can't and I don't know why. Is there a special way to do it?
Oh, she probably
oh,
is.
Oh, sweetheart.
Like not we all need to be educated better, ladies, if yeah. this teaches us anything.
I think because we've been so undereducated on what sex looks like, not just between men and women, but between men and men and girls and
yourself.
Whoever. Yeah,
like
yourself.
Sex with
everything.
Yourself. Mm.
We have absolutely no idea what sex actually looks like.
There are
like.
So many factors that come into play.
So many factors.
Yeah, when you're like navigating sex, yeah.
Did you guys have sex education at your school?
Oh, not properly.
Not really.
It was like, here's a banana and here's a condom. Okay, cool.
I
like,
didn't even
go
have
out
that.
And have fun.
When did
boys
I feel
got
like,
that? Girls didn't get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we
which
didn't get that.
Also,
stupid.
Fuck you. I need to know that. I need to learn. We need to learn. Because also, boys are notoriously not great at that. Like, it's a partnership. We need to come together and assist.
Sex is a
partnership. We need to assist each other. Do you have any more?
Yeah,
these
okay.
Are
I have one.
Delightful.
I have one more that made Nathan just like squeal a little bit. This person sent in, I want to give my boyfriend a hand job, so I asked some of my friends what I'm supposed to do. One of my friends said it was squeezing the penis and testicles. The other said it was gently rubbing it. Which one of them is right?
Neither. Can I give you some like
a little bit of it.
Unnecessary insight into my life that everyone's going to hate?
Yeah, go on.
I literally was talking about this morning because as I was doing research for this particular episode, I was trying to think of all like the weird intricacies that have occurred in my sex life and where I've fallen short in education. Or where like something awkward's happened and I've had to deal with it. The first time I ever gave my first boyfriend head, I had no fucking clue what to do, right? It's like you have a penis and a mouth, but like how? Anyway, so I spoke to one of my other friends who is a little bit more experienced than me and had a boyfriend for a bit longer. And she told me it's like kissing a dick. Like it's like making out with a dick. And I was like, okay, cool. That's relatively self-explanatory.
She
so I had
the
a makeout session with my boyfriend's penis that didn't end in anything remotely fun and was just confusing.
My question is, did he enjoy it?
No,
least?
It got to the end and he was like, it was his first time.
He'd
never gotten one either. And thank bless him for being honest. He was like, look, I love you. You're great. However, I'm pretty sure that's not how you're meant to do that. And he was like, I'm not even speaking from experience because I've never had this done to me, but I think it's meant to feel different than that. And I'm pretty sure that's not how it's meant to go. And
you're
I was like,
just
okay.
Wait, I'll just get girl stuff out one
we're
moment.
Gonna,
I'm just going to
have a little
consult.
Revise of my notes and then we'll go round two soon. But stressful and like, if anybody else has dealt with something similar, you are not alone.
I just do not understand how parents think it's responsible of them not to talk about sex. Oh, even just like, I cannot tell you how many women I've encountered in my life that I've had to teach them that, just so you know, like you get your period, right? You bleed. And then pretty much halfway through that cycle, it depends on the person. That's when you ovulate. It blows my mind how many women I've had to teach that to because no one's ever taught them that before. No one's ever said, oh,
like,
just so you know.
This is your cycle.
Yeah, well, because like when you're ovulating, that's when you're most fertile and like your body gives you symptoms. So like when you're ovulating, you release progesterone, which makes your body hot. So if you're taking your temperature, you can tell when you're ovulating and you can tell if you're not using birth control, that's how you tell, okay, no sex
is my
done.
Time.
That's
yeah.
happening. But also with what comes out, like with the discharge as well. Like you go from nothing to like creaminess. And then once this is kind of gross, sorry again. For
we don't care. Yeah, this is a safe space.
When it starts turning into like egg white consistency, that's when you know, do not have sex. You are going to get pregnant, or at least do not have unprotected sex. And people don't know that. So of course people just think, yeah, I'm not on my period. I can't get pregnant. Like,
we could literally sit here and rant all day about sex education.
Yeah,
so
but it is, it's like a generational thing. And I think, back, you know, when our parents were born, it's like the 60s or 50s or 70s, depending on when your
how old your parents are.
Baby boomers. And I feel like they never got that education. And it's really interesting, us kind of being babies of the new millennium, is that no one really thinks to teach us about this. We've got so, and like Kelsey and I were chatting a little bit about this before the episode, but there's so many things that we're relearning in society. And it's like 2020. We're like, why don't people know about their periods?
It's ridiculous. I think as well, I agree wholeheartedly with you, Kels, that why don't our parents just tell us? Like, I think it's their responsibility. But I do have some compassion in the fact that if they were never taught it themselves and they True. Now have to learn how to teach somebody else, like there's a lot of stress and pressure that gets put on parents. And I think that's why in our parents' generation and with us being their children, they've given us books like Girl Stuff, because that's like, they're doing it technically. They're ticking the box of I taught them things, but without actually having to say anything out loud and have those awkward conversations.
I mean, I think that we're so much more in tuned with our, I mean, I don't think, I know, like we are so much more in tuned with our bodies and talking about sexuality and all those types of things. So I feel like when we have children, I don't think it's going to be much of an issue. I mean, don't you reckon, I feel like it's, at least in the media, people that are willing to talk about these things with their children are labeled as hippies or flowery people. Like, you can't talk to your children about sex. What do you mean? That's so like,
it's a new age. Flashback to the 50s. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, well, Bella, what was, I know that you came here wanting to talk about some things. What did you want to talk about today?
Well, oh my gosh, there are so many things that I want to talk about. If like, I wish this could be a 4-hour podcast about sex, genuinely. Like there are so many topics I would want to
go.
Do we make a movie
about us all sitting here drinking wine and talking about sex? There are a few topics I want to cover, and I think that they will naturally occur in conversation in some of them. But I thought, because we have a special guest, that she could start us off with some like fun little statistics, and then we could go from there. Because I know
give us the stats, give us the data.
Hardcore data. I love data, so I'm a data gal. So the more data, the better. Do you have any fun statistics that you have?
Oh, I do. So,
found.
Well, I have a really great relationship with. I was about to say I have a great relationship with my sex toys.
Which you do.
Which I do. But I have a great relationship with the sexual wellness brand Love Honey, which obviously sells sex toys, but they're all about education. So I actually reached out to them and I was like, I need all the deets about absolutely everything. So they sent me like a plethora of details. So I thought we'd kind of start on female pleasure, whether that be through masturbation, sex toys, sex, whatever. So I'm just going to throw a couple out at you and just jump in whenever you're feeling
that you need to.
Okay, to start you off with a fun little one from Love Honey, which I love. So sex toys are obviously popular, but fewer than half of Australians are using them on a regular basis. So that's, to give you the exact stat, it's 42%, which I think is wild. Bella thinks is wild.
I don't think it's that wild.
I don't think it's that wild because I come from the side of life where I'm not as openly in tuned with my sexuality as I would like to be. I mean, I was saying to Bianca before that I am all here for the women's liberation movement. I'm all here for educating myself about sexual pleasure and what that looks like between and in groups. But for myself, I still find it really hard to be that open and physical with myself as well. Like
And when I say like it's wild, I'm not saying that I'm like some like raved sex toy maniac.
You don't know that.
I think Kelsey thinks, which is a bit stressful. It's more like I've like kind of worked it out, especially in the last like year, is like breaking down that stigma within myself and like, why do I feel uncomfortable? And why am I only doing it when I feel a certain way? And why am I only doing it at certain times? And kind of like understanding that in myself, to try and become more comfortable with it. So then if I am exploring myself sexually outside of my own self-pleasure, I then am like learning about myself and understanding myself better. But I still feel weird and uncomfortable, and I still think that there's like a huge stigma around it. When I'm trying to do it myself. Like I'm not just like willy-nilly pulling out a vibrator and like having a good time.
Yeah, I think the best way to explain it is that I feel like we're on the same timeline. You're just here and I'm here because we all believe in the same thing.
For sure, same values.
Yeah, same values. I'm just at a different stage, and I think it has a lot to do with the way that I was brought up. I think it has a lot to do with not feeling. I've always had body image issues from just being a young little nugget as such. Never really was in. I don't know how to explain it.
I want to get you a t-shirt that says young little nugget.
Young little nugget.
Welcome to Christmas presents.
I was a young little nugget. Okay. Yeah. But I think like, because I was so out of touch with my own body, not just in a sexual way, but in just fully disconnected when it was time to start thinking about sex and all that type of things. I never thought of myself as desirable. So it's really hard for me to, you know, experiment with sex toys and stuff because I'm still just only now breaking the barrier to allowing myself that pleasure. Like it's taken like, what, 23 years of my life to be able to start allowing myself that type of pleasure. So
I think this is a work really, in progress. Absolutely. And we all are work in progress too. Like none of us are doing it perfectly. And we're all trying to, like at whatever stage we're at, we're trying to progress. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good point though, what you were saying with like, if you desire yourself, because I think in our society, sex is determined on looks or like it is so linked with how you physically are portrayed in society and then how you physically see yourself. And I think that was a really interesting point that I actually read in the Kaz Cook Girl Stuff book.
Kaz Cook is getting a shout out.
I wrote this all in capital letters, which I love.
Does she have like a volume?
Volume three, four, five, six. I hope so. We should just write one anyway.
Let's petition it. But she wrote, it's a good way to learn that sex is about what you feel, not what you look like. And I think that's interesting point is that I think our society is so quick to link sex with your physical appearance and desire is so linked to physical appearance.
Guys, she has a women's stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yo, my gosh.
How has this not been
Kaz
more hyped
Cook
up?
Expect three orders of women's stuff.
Yeah,
quick smart.
What about you, Bianca? Are you in tuned with your sexuality? Oh, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your life.
I thought you were about to say.
You're like, fuck.
I know what you were about to say. I was like, fuck. It is a massive thing about its growing pains and I think really leaning into educating yourself because, and I especially like looking at these stats, I think they are really interesting. Like obviously what you were kind of talking about, Kelson, like feeling like you're on the same level, but you're not at a certain stage yet. And what I found interesting and what I kind of had experienced in my teens going into my early 20s is that a lot of people are embarrassed to even think about sex toys. It's not even, it's, but sex with another person, let alone an inanimate object, which gives you no level of intimacy. You kind of think, what's the point? Mm. Which I really relate to. Like, I think I was really scared for a while to even venture out. And I think I've been in a relationship for 5 years now and I think we only...
Takes the cake.
I know.
Oh, well, you know, there's always... Like relationships are really interesting and I think it's really figuring out what makes you... It's what makes you happy, really, because you really can't... I've been chatting to my partner about this. It's like two unhappy people can't make a happy relationship. No. So I think a happy person for me is being really open with myself and seeing what I'm comfortable with. I'm definitely comfortable with using my vibrator. It's definitely a step that I like to kind of jump into. But I think it is comfortability, education, and a good group of girlfriends that you can say, hey, I have no idea what I'm actually doing here. Can you give me a little step up?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I also think, I mean, now that, because I'm the single one here, hello, just taking one for the team. But I also think, like, when you're in a relationship, you're really focused on exploring your sexuality with your partner. Like, that's kind of what the focus is, right? Because you have somebody to share yourself with and to learn with and to grow with.
Do you want to hear a fun stat?
Tell me.
So, Aussies apparently really look at sex as a thing that really brings together intimacy because obviously coitus is literally what we think brings intimacy.
Isn't that such a good word?
Coitus. It's the word of the day, my friends. Yeah. Coitus.
Can we just name this episode?
Coitus.
Done.
The cool thing about this survey is they were talking about like why people value sex and they think, like, out of this survey, the best things about sex are connecting emotionally 66%, so connecting emotionally whoever you're with, which I find really interesting from a single point of view because I think sometimes you just want to fucking run. Is it, what's it called, a toot and boot?
A toot and boot. Can we call that from now on, though?
Sometimes you just want to toot, root, and boot.
But then also talked about sex getting close to your partner afterwards. So the 61%, like, you know, after sex, like cuddling, stuff like that, which a lot of the time you're not really, and I think being in a relationship, and you might relate, you might not, but I find like after sex it is you have to kind of see what you're feeling, because sometimes you do want to cuddle, but sometimes you just want to go the fuck to sleep.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All the time. I mean, this is another thing which I was, when I was trying to think of things that were like very unique to my experience being 23, is that I don't know if this is the same for single people. I mean, I'm sure it would be. I don't know why
it
would
Sounds like
be.
We're such a, like, a, there's a path between us. It's like singles and couples.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're on your own.
Yeah. Bye.
See ya.
I'm like sitting at the other end of the table just crying. And they're down the other end having
she
a party.
She had a single tear just going down.
No, but it's more like, okay, I feel like when you're in a relationship, there's this expectation sometimes, not all the time, but there is a general expectation that you have sex all the time. I like find that really hard because I don't fucking feel like sex all the time. Like sometimes depending on like where I am at in my cycle, I just don't fucking feel like sex. And it doesn't mean that I'm not attracted to you. It just means that I just don't.
You don't want to be sexually just, intimate. Just
yeah. It's testosterone levels. And I think it's literally on a basic human rate. It's like men versus women on their level, their biochemistry. It's their levels of libido. Men naturally have more testosterone. So as, like even me as a personal level, I was taking the pill for what? 10 years since I was however old I am now, I can't even tell. But I was taking the pill and obviously thinking I'm going to be sexually active. I need to be safe. I don't want to have a baby right now. And I'm taking this pill, but it's rising my copper levels rose, you know, off the Richter, and it actually affected my libido levels. And you wouldn't think something that is supposed to be, you know, harnessing your sexuality as in like, yes, go
that
out
could
and
actually
have
be
lots
detrimental
of sex.
To your
detrimental to your, you know,
your libido.
For sure.
Your desires for sexual intimacy.
For sexual ring
for sexual, for sexual things.
Yeah. Well, I like feel bad for my partner sometimes because boys are boys. And I don't want to say boys are boys, but at least my partner, he doesn't need he could be in any mood and he'd be ready to go. It doesn't matter.
You can literally
matter.
Go, you could be full. I've just watching Killing Eve. Yeah. I was telling the girls about this. I was watching Killing Eve and she's like feeling really horny and they're eating Indian food. And she goes, do you want to go upstairs? And he goes, I've just had a kilo of chicken madras. I don't know. And then she goes, so you don't want to go? And he's like, who am I kidding? I'm going upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
the thing.
They
can be in any mood.
In any mood. I think when we first started our relationship, I was more like, yeah, okay, whatever, it's fine, without actually listening to myself, where now I'm much more comfortable to say, I don't actually feel like sex right now. And I feel like it's become so normalized that this whole idea that men need sex all the time. Bro, they don't. They're humans. They can control themselves just as much as girls can. And I mean, like, Nathan even went on Rakuten, and for that time, like, he wasn't as spicy, I guess.
Yes. Spicy hot Latina.
Yeah, so I think, like, you have to be really conscious and also talking to your partner about these things as
open
well.
Open communication, baby. I'm all about transparency, full transparency, not, you know, telling me something when I ask you, saying, oh, hey, like, I'm not feeling like it. Do you feel like it? But hoping that they will feel, I guess, not the obligation, but they feel the comfortability of saying to you, oh, I really want to have sex, or I really don't want to have sex. Yeah, let's pencil it in next Tuesday after 6.
All the time I'm like, what about tomorrow? Maybe Wednesday morning. And it's like, yeah, okay, that works on my schedule. Well, okay, let me read out this headline. The millennial sex recession is bullshit. That's by Cosmopolitan. Do you guys know what I'm talking about when I say the millennial sex recession?
That is there's been a drop? Is that what it is?
Well, yeah, I think probably for the past between like 5 and 10 years in the media, it's been talked about a lot. There was this study out of America, I'm pretty sure, where it was like a really basic study. It was like just asking people in like a general survey, all these random questions. One of the questions was, how many times a week do you have sex? And in the past, however many years, for millennials, it had dropped. And so it was in these headlines. I think the New York did a story about it. The Atlantic did a story about it, about how there's like a millennial sex recession that we're not having as much sex.
They're in trouble.
Yeah, poor them. And this was compared.
We all found vibrators, guys.
Yes. Well, that's called technology. It's called the industrial revolution. of the noughties.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much what I mean. Cosmopolitan in their article, they were pretty much saying just that. The question wasn't asking how do you have sex. Sex itself wasn't
defined,
specified in terms of like statistics and data collection. It's a really kind of stupid question to ask.
Well, it's just not very. It's not specific enough to get any proper data.
Yeah,
and it's not specific to us as a cohort of like 2020. Because think about there's so many different. There's gender is a spectrum, and there's so many people experiencing different things. Not everyone has a penis. Not everyone can have penetrative sex. So is that what we're defining as sex in the stats?
Yeah.
Because that's not what sex is.
And also, I think this is a big point. I think for millennials, it's not about quantity, it's about quality.
We've regained power. We've built up more power within ourselves. And I think we're in different situations. Like, we do have access to self-pleasure and to, you know, instruments that allow us to explore our own sexuality on a better level than we ever have before. This is what I freaking hate when you look at statistics about this. I don't like sex being lumped in. Sex is a plethora of different things.
Sex is like a sunset. You always get a different kind.
Oh, hello. A lovely spectrum. That's a really good one.
I loved what this article said. They said, despite what the media says, we're not lonely porn-addicted careerists who are too selfish or busy to get it on. According to top experts, Cosmo's exclusive data and actual millennials, we're the most experimental, enlightened, and sexually fulfilled generation yet. Which
guys,
is true.
Aww. Round of applause.
I know. Good for us.
Everyone listening, round of applause. Pat yourself on the back. Good job. Love it. We're all patting ourselves on the back.
You know, millennials, like in the sex toy stat round, is millennials are pretty much the guys that are like having the most fun. It's like 59% of us own sex toys, like whether that be a cisgender millennial. And then also bisexuals, well, who identify as bisexuals, it's 59% own sex toys. And I'm like, yes, experimental.
Guys.
Yes, like, everybody.
Sexuality is fluid. I mean, I remember reading this article that was talking a lot about how in your 20s is when your gender and sexuality is most fluid. So that's when people are experimenting and, you know, seeing what works for them and who they like and what they like. And I feel like we are the first generation that has so much access to education and media and other voices. I've had like friends of mine come to me and they're like, do I like girls? I don't know. It's kind of like a 1090 at the moment. But even like bisexuality, it's so fluid. Like, it's not just you like girls and boys equally. It's kind of like some people like guys and girls like 70-30, or maybe it's like a 40-60 ratio.
But there's so many, I always think about like 2000 movies, kind of that realm is that you watch all these American movies and like there's a lot of girls that go, oh, I just had that phase in college. And it was so like put off as it like, oh, it just happened.
Oh, it's just a phase.
But it's like, everyone's having this phase. It's 2020. Yeah. Everyone it's thinks not. Everyone is hot.
It should be. Okay. Yeah. Everyone thinks everyone is hot. But it's one of those things that I don't like when the narrative is it's a phase.
Yeah.
If it's something that you want to explore, explore it. Like, if it's something that you're actually interested in,
it's a journey.
Delving into, like, you have every right as an individual to explore that for yourself.
Just think about how many boomers are actually.
I think about this all the time.
Well, there would be. Like,
I think
if you
know
just,
what you're going to say.
If you just look at the data, the way that we are, there is no way that at least like half of the boomer population is some type of gender fluid. There is no, like, there has
correct.
To, yeah, I
correct.
Agree.
They just, there are a lot of people coming out in their 50s.
But now they're just like living their life, and it's so beautiful to see people being their true selves.
Well, how amazing is it that the space that we've created now in this time is welcoming enough for people to
fully express themselves.
Exactly.
Properly, yeah.
I think that's nice. I mean, with all the shit that's going on, at least we're on the way to
a basic
acceptance.
Level of
a
acceptance.
Basic level. Yeah, I know. We always put like a little asterisk because we go basic acceptance and then we go, there's still turds out there.
Yeah.
But
well, there's still
generally everyone.
We're on the way. Do you have any more stats?
Oh,
yo, I'm like data girl. Give it to me.
Well, no, I did like this stats about why people are having sex, which we can always kind of think
you
about.
You didn't like?
No, I do.
Oh,
I love
do.
It.
Okay.
I love it. So 60,
I was like, ooh, controversial. Give it to me.
Controversial. So 70% of people says it reduces level of anxiety, which I think
yeah.
is really,
Probably,
really important. Yeah. 68% of people agree that a good sex life helps them feel better mentally. It just helps you. Sometimes you just need to get, you might have to, sometimes you just need to get railed. You do. Sometimes you just need a good bang and then go
yeah.
to sleep.
Yeah.
Should we call
right?
the podcast that? Sometimes you just need to get railed yeah. and then have a good
sleep. Gonna,
railed
I was
or railed?
Railed.
Yeah, I was, sorry. Kelsey's literally looking at me gesturally. Going, honestly, who are you? We're from the same cohort. But I also want to give you a fun little thing. So 63% say it's important for overall well-being. Like, sex is literally,
oh,
like, 100%. It's not the most important thing. It's 63%, but
ooh,
there's still 40%. What
well,
were you saying?
I was going to say, was it the World Health Organization? Oh, I can't remember. I need to look it up again. I'll put it in the show notes if I can find it.
Very good.
They have defined, like, sexual fulfillment as a basic human right.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
God bless.
Yeah.
God bless America and all these states.
Thank you.
So,
we're
yeah,
in Australia,
it fully is.
Well, it's in Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Okay, I have another little piece of news media for you.
Yes,
this
please.
Is in Metro. Sex therapy app Blue Heart reported a 108% surge in new users between the 1st of March and the 1st of August. So that's approximately 5,000 new users seeking help for sexual dysfunction within a 6-month period. And that's due to the coronavirus. Mm. I mean, this quote kind of made me think about some things. This is from someone from the app, and they said, "My new female clients feel denied sexual fulfillment. This is due either to the complacency of their partner during the lockdown, or for the single woman, the webcam fun had during lockdown has re-energized her libido. Now they want to make the virtual a reality." So, and I was just thinking in terms of like webcam, like, is that something that you would do in lockdown?
Yeah.
I don't know who you're talking to.
You and your boyfriend are like, possibly. Yes.
You go in the lounge room. I'll stay here. Make sure the lights are off.
And we'll just pretend, that we're not in the same house.
Yeah, Belle, what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I mean, webcam.
I can't think of anything worse.
I'm just thinking back to my MSN days. She is now. Yeah, we're all sweating. Like, I think back to my MSN days, and my friends from high school, if they ever listen to this, will know who I'm talking about. But I dabbled. Not necessarily.
Spill that tea.
And we're saying that sex doesn't mean penetrative sex. Obviously, yeah. You can't do that over webcam. But I think MSN was the original Zoom chat.
Oh, for sure. I loved MSN.
It was.
I think I was too young and too PG. But
I want to know the stats on how many people are now doing webcam sex.
Oh my God. I tell you what, in coronavirus.
Zoom fatigue is up.
That makes sense.
They would have. And there are so many different platforms you can have webcam sex on.
Everyone's going,
there's
Omegle,
a plethora.
Do you remember? I remember going on Omegle for the first time, and the first time I opened it, like a huge dick was on the screen. And I just went, ah! I was like 15 or something. It was confronting.
That was like sex and education. Go on Omegle, guys.
Yeah. I definitely think it has risen during coronavirus exponentially. And it definitely is something that, look, even like with the rise of like all these other platforms that are coming up that are allowing access in this kind of way, I think that webcam sex and like online dating, like it needs to be facilitated in some capacity. If you're online dating and you can't physically access your partner or the person that you've just started seeing, or it starts on Tinder or Bumble and transfers into another platform, like this would happen physically. You go on a few dates and then you have sex, or you go on a date, you have sex, or you date for a while and then you have sex, whatever your timeline is.
Whatever your proclivity.
So why does it then matter that we've now transferred this online? I think it's really important to still have access to these things too. Like,
I don't give no shits to people that are having webcam sex. I just can never for myself can picture myself having webcam sex. And I don't, like I said, it's got nothing to do against the act itself. It's just myself in that. I cannot imagine myself in that context.
Do you send naked pictures?
Hardly ever. I mean, I have because, you know, I'm not, I can't deny a boy what he needs.
Preach, girl.
It's the best thing that Kelsey's ever said.
Overjoyed. Play it on repeat, my friends.
She's like, y'all gotta do what y'all gotta do.
But no, I just feel deeply uncomfortable with seeing myself on camera. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's got to do with sex either. That's just in general. I have always hated seeing myself on camera. So having sex on a webcam just seems, honestly, I'm just thinking about logistics. I'm thinking about like my hot face in like a weird angle. Like I just, and it's just, it comes down to insecurity, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's once again, it's something that we're working on. But I think a lot of, like I said, how you were on the side of like, you couldn't believe that there wasn't any more people using vibrators, and I could believe it. Same thing. I feel like there's a whole audience and population out there that wouldn't hate to see themselves
absolutely
on a webcam. And I think it's completely natural as well.
I'm such like a lorikeet bird that you would keep at home, because I've been doing... To give you some context, I've been doing a lot of Zoom chats from home, like interviewing people, and I had a tip from a friend. She said, put your notes in front of your face because you will naturally look to yourself. And I don't even think it's almost like a subconscious thing, is that you instantly look at yourself, not to go, what am I wearing? Yeah. How am I looking? But you instantly go, okay, that's me. This is who I am, rather than almost concentrating on the other person.
Yeah.
But like in webcam sex, it could literally be you looking at yourself and being like, this is hot, and not even worrying about the other person.
The other person's like, are you going to merely there to facilitate your like, or to just be like an
facilitate,
added extra?
As Flex Mummy would say, facilitate your own nut.
Yeah, 100%. I actually did want to talk about this because there are lots of things that happen during sex that I think that no one ever talks about.
Get down
and
to
we
it.
Watched a movie the other day. Kelsey and I went to the movies.
Oh,
We saw After We Collided. That new like teen.
You just pissed me
It's like Twilight but without vampires.
I watched the first one and I was like,
I didn't. Well, I'd never seen the first one. So I watched the second one like with my fingers over my eyes, like laughing hysterically because I cannot watch that stuff seriously. It stresses me out.
What happened?
It's just like it's so full on, and then it's like literally
like 50 Shades of Grey, but like yeah, but like it is
for teenagers.
Yeah, wow. Not even
like
25
19
olds.
Years old.
Yeah,
and I just remember like sitting in the movie theater watching the movie, and they have sex and again and again and again, and you're like, Jesus Christ, are you guys all right? Like, where are you getting
track
this stamina from? I'm impressed, but wow, you're giving everybody really unrealistic expectations of how people have sex. And I just remember at one point, I think I heard you, she's like, oh, for God's sake, not again.
For God's sake.
Well, I think it is, okay, when you first meet your boyfriend, you'd know this. Like, when you first meet a long-time partner, like, yeah, it's hot and heavy. Limerence, people. Limerence. It's a thing.
I mentioned limerence in a girl's chat the other day.
It's working.
It's working.
Coitus and limerence. That's your words for the day, guys.
Yeah, like, it's a thing. Like, you get hot and heavy, you probably have sex way more than, like, you normally would. But that's when you first meet. It's not realistic long term, because like I said, people can get bored of sex. People just don't feel like sex. Like, it's not something, I feel like we were expected to have sex all the time, and it's not realistic. And if you don't fucking feel like having sex, don't have sex.
My issue with this particular movie and with
the toxicity of the whole bloody thing.
Oh my God, Kelsey. After now reflecting on this movie and thinking about like the actual narrative that it is sharing, that holy delight, there are a lot of like gaps, and my gosh, it's a bit of a worry. But one of the main things that I took from it that I think we would all, and I think every single person in the world who is sexually active would have these thoughts, is that the way the media portrays sex is like picture perfect, right? It's like, oh, they're there, and then like you're turned on and I'm turned on and we're ready and it's done and oh my God, beautiful. There is no putting on condoms. There is no like,
they're not talking about copper levels. They're not talking about anything.
There is no like stretching your leg up and trying to reach
levels?
It.
What are your copper levels before we have coitus?
There is no like accidental chests rubbing together and making a funky sound. There is no queefing. There is no,
yeah.
There is no any fucking normal bullshit in these movies, and it
preach.
Like, shits me.
Like the little laughy moments when you're like, that's not working.
Yeah. Or like when you're turning around and then it's like a, you know, it's like a dance.
It's
you
like
have
a
to like really organize yourselves. Like there are so many things that happen during sex and it are pulling out afterwards and then you have to organize
Grabbing
yourself.
Never done that. Never.
He's never pulled out of you.
Well,
look how you even.
No, I mean like
he just sits inside me.
Okay, for obviously
for 3
not.
Days you let the primate gestate.
Not what I was talking about. No, I was saying, you know what? You don't deserve that story.
Come on, I want it.
We want it now.
No, I'm just saying that I'm not on the pill. I was maybe on the pill for like maybe 8 months, I want to say, when I first got into a relationship. And then I went like pretty much insane. So I stopped.
Were you on Yasmin?
I was on everything for a while. Like I kept changing. I started on
I
like,
shouldn't say that. Don't sue me.
<It's> but I went from like all the different pills. None of them were working. I was going insane because, you know, I'm an emotional person as it is. Lord knows I did not need any other stimulants to make me more emotional. So I was on the pill and it just wasn't working for me. And Nathan was like, just don't, like, you can go off the pill. And then I started looking into natural fertility methods, which is why I know so much about our ovulation system, guys. It's really interesting stuff. I really recommend, I think the book's called like The Ultimate Guide to Fertility or something like that. I'll put it in the show notes. But it's an amazing book. It taught me so much. That's how I track my fertility now, is that so I know when I can and can't have unprotected sex pretty much. Yeah, but because of that, we've never had to really try the pull-out method because it's either protected or it's not.
No, sorry, I don't mean pulling out in regards to pulling out before they come. I mean pulling out afterwards and then they're having to take the condom off and then it being like a little bit like,
it's really,
oh, yeah. Like it's awkward.
But like both.
Yeah. Both of them are, but.
I feel like we're the only like two couples in the whole of the universe that use condoms while still being in a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
My friends are completely boggled that they're like, wow, you don't want to have a, you want to like worry about contraception. You don't want to have a baby. Like it's not as if they want me to have a baby, but they're really shocked that I'm even thinking about it.
But I think like when you have a guy that's willing to do that, guys like that, I think there's a correlation with guys that are willing to go down on you. I do not understand people that aren't willing boys that will not go down on their girlfriends. And I have
that was such a smooth transition. You're like, whilst I'm here, I want to talk about this.
But all I have guy friends, and I have met people, and I've heard of like people through my friends who will not go down on their girlfriends.
I could sit here and rant about this all day long.
The blue, like while you were saying that, I'm like the blue guy in Hercules with the fire on his head. Like I think it's so, it's the fucking, well, I'm not going to go into detail, but it's a bloody patriarchy. Like they think that women don't, they think that women are literally like Barbies down there. They don't even have like a vulva or a clit, whatever. They think that it's completely nothing down there, and that sex, penetrative sex,
is
what gives you an orgasm, which is so far from the truth.
I have a statistic.
Yes.
Yes. So
I'm way too excited about statistics.
So this is from Vice, the Journal of Sex and Marital Therapy, found that nearly 30% of American women required clitoral stimulation to experience orgasm, compared with 18% of women who said that vaginal penetration alone was enough to come.
Vaginal.
Oh, sorry. What did I say? Vaginal.
Which you can say if you want. I don't mind.
Yeah, well, 18% of women, and I'm pretty sure this was from 2018 as well, only 18% of women said that vaginal penetration was enough to come. Like, that's such a small number. And I think, like, this is the benefits of being in a long-term relationship, is that you teach your partner that. Like, they know that very fucking well. Even when you're accustomed to the clit, it's not just like, there are multiple methods. It's not just one size fits all. Don't think that, like, I don't know how to say this without being super crude.
Be crude. Be
loud. Like, crude. There are so many
Be
different.
Be rude, trude.
There are so many different ways to lick, suck, tap, twist, fuck, tap, rub.
Dip, so dodge, dip and dodge.
Yeah, but we need to start, like, boys in particular, I doubt you would have gotten this far into the podcast, but if you are listening to this, go
just ahead, like,
have a talk to your friends about
it. Talk to your girlfriends about it even. Like, if one of our guy friends came up and was like, I actually want to have a chat, like, or even just like what a girl's like, or you don't have to be like crude and gnarly about it, but if you've got close girlfriends that you're honest and open with on other topics.
Yeah.
But it could be something that you bring up.
For sure. And I think Chantel Otten is a great, she's a psychosex therapist, and she's a great source of information, because she's all about trying all the courses. We're not about penetrative sex all the time, every time. That's not how some people reach orgasm. It's about trying everything. So pretty much how she describes the courses, think about like a dinner course. So she thinks it's kind of like basically all the yummy stuff without the pressure to perform. So whether that's kissing on the neck or kissing on the nipples or, you know, kissing on the thighs specifically for women, it will change depending on what you like. But it's that kind of pushing into the zones and kind of going into the eroticism of sex, because a pump and a dump. Sorry for being crude, but literal just like 5 second Larry, it's not fun for us. So I think really just focusing and chatting to your girlfriends as well, but focusing on what can I do besides just sticking my dick in her.
Yeah.
That is actually going to be enjoyable. And for both of you,
but
too.
Like, fun. Like, how fun is that? Like, if you tickle them, like, you don't know if
and
you tickle
many
them
other
or it'll be
things
nice.
You can bring in. But like, there are so many different things that you can be doing to explore this part of your life, and you're missing out if you're not.
Guys, I mean, I've just, because we looked up what we're trying to say, erogenous. So some erogenous zones are ears, nape of the neck, inner wrists, fingertips, butt, scalp, interestingly, armpits, lower back, stomach, and back of knee. I mean, I'm sure there's probably
Do you read
that
and know what ones yours are?
Yeah.
I started tingling.
You're like, ding, ding, ding.
Ding,
we've got
ding,
a winner.
Ding. We've
got
a winner.
Question for the Dr. Dolly. Dolly Doctor?
Dolly Doctor.
Yeah, whatever. Anything that you want to say before we wrap this episode up?
I definitely mirror what Belle was saying. And to wrap it up with a quick little start.
Go.
To tell everyone, you know, what else can I add to my sex life? 57% of people are up for more variety and want to try new positions. That's 47%, and massage is 40%. So think about trying something new, having fun with your partner, and
or having fun with yourself.
I have a little treat for you guys and your listeners.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So when this guy is going live, this little episode, you guys all have access to a 20% off code at Love Honey, which is the amazing sexual wellness brand. It's the code SHORETALK23. The girls will pop it in the show notes for you, but go wild.
We're so excited.
Round of applause for Love Honey for bringing us the goods always.
Yeah. Love you. Love us. Love them. Bianca literally sent this to me and I was like, cool. So does that mean I can use this too? Or is this your for mom, me?
Your brother, everybody can use it.
Jesus Christ. I did buy like a wee vibe from them a while ago now. I'm still like yet to use it properly, but we'll get there.
I just want to end on one particular thing that I wrote down because I'm a genius and I write things down. I think a good way to cap this off, which we already have kind of said, but I think it's nice to just like condense it, is that we all need to work together to change the narrative around sex, to be more open with our sexual partners, to not ignore the weird bits and to understand they are a part of the process, to be consensual always, to be respectful and to ensure both parties are enjoying themselves equally. This will allow the shift that's so necessary right now in our generation, especially to facilitate us all having more fun and fulfilling sex lives.
Oh, good one, Belle.
Oh,
good one.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this podcast today. We hope you enjoyed all our funny stories and all our stats. And you just got a nice little combination of both.
Yeah, and thank you to our lovely guest, Bianca, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. And for being an all-round legend and dealing with us. Technical difficulties, bullshit, and all.
I'll see you on MSN.
Can't wait.
See you on MSN.
Or Omegle. Stressful.
Yeah. The best way to support us is clicking subscribe on your Apple
Podcast
app or your Spotify.
You can't subscribe on Spotify.
Oh, well, fuck. Okay.
You can follow us. Like, a button.
Yeah.
We have no fucking clue. Just do whatever the platform allows you to do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, perfect.
Twins.
Hey, thanks.
Okay.
Love you.
Boo.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.